Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, August 15th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect for 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my experiences with relationships with others. And it's a tool I've used to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process and or they've given powerful testimonials about how the use of these tools has improved their life quality and relationships. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you will see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on it, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often, primarily because it has been our experience that the more people use these tools, the more it improves their quality of their lives and relationships. And secondarily, from a little bit more selfish perspective, the more people do that, the more it tends to stimulate comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, we'd appreciate a call at 563-999-3581. Or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. Or you can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and we will get your comments, questions, answers, or testimonials, and when we have time, we'll address them on the internet show, and then as time allows, send you a notification about what day and time we were able to address your comment or question or answer or testimonial, and then you can go back in the archives and listen to the response. And it really is far easier for us to live into our intention with this work when we get comments and questions and testimonials from people, because it lets us know what it would be most specifically useful for you as we move into and through each of these days of 2 hours of support. This year we're going through rather slowly and methodically the Way of Mastery. We began on January 10th, and the archives of the first hour of our weekday shows, almost all of them, are up on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org on the page that says Way of Mastery with Commentary. And what I've done there is just edited out the first hour of this two-hour radio show each day and then uploaded it to that special page. Also on that website, educational materials page, there is the short version of the Reality Management Worksheet, the Forgiveness Pattern in written form, and the Forgiveness Pattern now in an audio form. Also there you can find the information about joining our Tuesday and Thursday support groups if you're so inclined. They run from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time, and they're free to attend. You can always donate if you have extra financial resources and you have found it a benefit. But from the beginning of making these available in person and online, we've never turned anybody away for lack of funds. I've donated my time to this, and there have been various places that have let us use their facilities for the in-person meetings. And they have not required any minimum, so that we were able to run it just on donation, whether it was the School of Intuitive Arts and Sciences or the Religious Science Church or the art studio we used for a while or the Unity Church that let us use their youth room. We've been blessed that people have donated the use of their rooms or buildings, and I have donated my time, and so people have been able to access these support groups for free for over 18 years now. So if you've got a comment or a question, let us know, 563-999-3581. And in the absence of anybody putting a hand up, I will go back into the work of our second reading through of Lesson 18. And the title of Lesson 18 is simply, The Highest Work is Embracing Your Past. And the second part of it is, Dismantling All of Your Negative Judgments About Your Past. So the title of the lesson is, The Highest Work is Embracing and Forgiving Your Past. The critical thing about this is we have to step into the awareness of what we've been trained to do with our intellect or conscious logical mind in the Western world, and wake up to the fact that we have been trained so thoroughly to judge right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, that it's like an automatic process that we don't even notice anymore. And what the Way of Mastery and a number of other deep spiritual traditions are trying to pull our awareness to is that that judging, that thinking we know that we are right and somebody else is wrong, is literally the mechanism that keeps us out of the experience of being in the flow of life, out of the experience of being connected to the flow of creation and our brothers and sisters. And so lesson 18 is going headlong against our culture, our Western culture and our traditions, and saying the truth is you don't know anything. We don't know anything. I don't know anything. And you can look at that from the scientific perspective, and you can understand that even our most brilliant scientists understand that whatever they think they know about energy and matter and space and time is only about, at best, about 20% of what actually is going on. Because their estimate at this point in time, and it could get even more skewed, is that the light, the matter, the energy that they can register with their devices is only about 20% of the universe, that the rest of it is dark matter and dark energy. And the reason they call it dark matter and dark energy is because they can't see it. They don't know what it's made of. They can't work with it. They can't measure it. Well, then how do they know it's there? Because all of their theories about how everything works that take into account the matter that they can see and the light and energy that they can measure indicate that there's a lot more going on here than they can account for. So it's like the wind that moves the trees. We don't get to see the wind, but we see the movement of the tall grasses, or we see the movement of the trees, or we see the movement of the waves. So this chapter says, look, let's just tune into the actuality of life, and let's just understand at deeper and deeper levels that all that we've been trained to do with our intellect in judgment and in storing of memories and contrast is based on a tiny fraction of a tiny fraction of 1% of what's actually happening in the world. So the fact of the matter is my conscious logical mind cannot know what's going on that it can't even register or perceive. So here's a simple exercise. This is where we left off last time. A simple exercise to dismantle my negative judgments about the past and bless it and accept it for what it is. A simple exercise to forgive and bless the past. The text reads, I want to offer unto you a simple exercise. It will take you 30 days if you apply yourself daily. And in the course of a day, this need not take more than perhaps 10 or 15 minutes. Merely come to your chair, come to your place of devotion, come to your place of meditation or prayer, and begin with the exercise we gave you earlier of abiding as Christ for 5 minutes. When that is completed, then simply continue by recognizing that you do not know what a single thing is or what it is for, and you do not know what a single brother or sister now in your life or who has been in the past, what they ever truly needed. So just begin by accepting your ignorance. Begin by using the intellect for its most useful purpose, which is to just recognize without judgment, to just recognize when its process of judging and evaluating and contrasting and comparing is leading to the stress and tension and negative emotions. And it's telling you in its own way, this is wrong. This is in error. So admit your ignorance and then simply and deliberately say within the mind, quote, I choose to forgive, therefore to dismantle the creation or my judgment about the creation that will now be brought into my awareness so that whatever arises, I allow it, I accept it, I surrender to it. I let it wash over me, I feel it fully, and I release it to be on its way. This is another way to talk about blessing. I bring my awareness to it. I dismantle the thoughts and judgments and comparisons that I make about it. I dismantle my connection, the connection in my mind between whatever is coming up in my awareness right now and anything I've done in the past. I choose to forgive the creation, whatever it is, that will now be brought into my awareness. And by forgive here, we mean dismantle any judgments of it, especially the negative ones. And then I ask Holy Spirit, what is in need of my blessing, of my acceptance, of my allowance, of my awareness? What's in need of my blessing? And then it says, as you sit and observe what comes into the field of the mind, the field of awareness, it might be a sudden tightness in a muscle. Do not overlook it, for even the tightness in the muscle is arising within the field of your mind. Just be with whatever that creation seems to be, whether it's a picture, a memory, a feeling, a thought, a sensation in the body. Just be with it. Single it out and stay with it. Look upon it and once again practice forgiveness in this simple way. Say, quote, object of my attention, I forgive you the judgment I have placed upon you, and thereby it is released. Now do I embrace you. So I dismantle any judgments that I've loaded in my mind about this cup, that lamp, this chair, that person across the way. I release and surrender. I dismantle my attachment to the negative thoughts that come rushing into my mind when I see somebody driving and changing lanes without a turn signal. Or driving and not putting their turn signal on and then all of a sudden slamming on their brakes in the flow of traffic to try and make a turn right or left. No warning. And I have instantly all of these negative associations in my mind come flooding up. I am going to choose to cancel those goals I have for that person, cancel those judgments I have about that person, breathe, soften, and release the negative energy that floods into my system when I have those thoughts come up. And I'm going to soften and allow. I'm going to embrace whatever arises. I'm going to think the most loving, positive thoughts and then share only those. The text goes on and says, literally feel yourself dismantling, releasing, and embracing, forgiving. In other words, dismantling your negative perceptions, releasing their judgments and the emotions that go with them, and embracing the truth of what is right now. Those that wish to visualize might see themselves taking their hand and wrapping it around the thought or the object or the memory or the sensation in the muscle. But wrap your hand around it lovingly and gently as though you were holding the most delicate of flowers, the most beautiful flower ever created, as though you're holding directly a gift from creation. Look upon that object and simply say, I am Christ, And in this moment, I use time to its greatest glory. Beloved object, I bless you. I embrace you. I heal you. I offer you total acceptance, total allowance, total surrender for your experience as part of the flow of life right now. The text then says, then, if it is a picture in the mind or a thought, simply allow it to be dissolved. Notice that as the image dissolves, you will detect that there is a field of spacious peace that you may not have known was there. The object of creation has simply become transparent to the reality of who you truly are. For peace is the nature of Christ. And we had one of our listeners commenting earlier and questioning about, okay, so what is this? I thought, you know, everything I've been led to believe about Christ and the Christ mind was that it knows all things. And yet, in this work, we're being told that the Christ mind doesn't walk in with knowledge. It doesn't hold memories and judgments. The Christ mind embraces the flow of life as it is. The Christ mind doesn't know anything from the past and bring that to the future and plant it like a template over the present moment to try and make life function the way its thoughts about it say life should function. But what the Christ mind does is allow, is surrender, is accept totally and completely. I am Christ. I am part of the Christ mind. And in this moment, I use time to its greatest glory. So, beloved object, I bless you. I accept you just as you are. I surrender to experience you directly and fully in all the aspects of your manifestation. I embrace you. I heal you. I offer you total peace and acceptance. Because peace is the nature of the Christ mind. Not judgment, not knowledge, not wisdom, peace. Allowance, surrender, direct, conscious connection to the actual flow of creative energy. The text goes on and says, do this as long as it is comfortable and the mind does not seem to waver or get too rattled. If it seems to become uncomfortable, simply notice that discomfort. Acknowledge it and thank yourself for your willingness to heal creation. And then let this exercise go. Don't keep struggling against it, trying to put your nose to the grindstone, trying to do this exercise for 10 minutes or a half an hour. Notice and allow. If tension arises in you, notice it. If distraction arises in you, notice it. Simply notice that discomfort, acknowledge it, and thank yourself for the willingness to heal creation. Let the exercise go and be about your day. Then come back to this exercise as often as you wish, but at least once a day for the next 30 days. The text reads, many of you will begin to see a certain pattern emerging. That is, many of the objects that come for healing may seem to be almost chronologically linked to your experience in this life. Others you may notice that are tapping into a multitude of other lifetimes. And some of you will experience and realize that over the 30 days that nothing seemed to show up with which you could link a personal causation. But rather, it seems to be presented to you by something else, and it's coming from some unknown dimension of the universe. Please allow this. Never judge what you see. Never judge what you feel. Never judge the thought that arises. There are many dimensions of creation, many forms of life, and many ways in which experience is created. Do not judge what you see, what you think, or what you feel, but hold it as an object that has been brought to you by the Holy Spirit, who is asking you, as Christ, to bring the healing of blessing to it. Many of you will have very profound insights and realizations over the next 30 days. Some of you will have memories come that you have never been able to access before. Why? Simply because there's been the barrier of fear. That's all. Fear is what creates and sustains the illusion of separation. So that when anybody says, well, you know, I can't remember anything past the age of 5. That's utter nonsense. Every event you have ever known is present for you now in its fullness. You've merely selected not to remember. You've been judging. You've been creating fear. And when we judge and create fear in our thought process, it's pressing down into our minds certain events with the label that says, we can't handle it. It's not safe. And so we shut it off from our awareness. It's still there in our history and our experience. It is accessible to us if we ask to be shown. It's accessible to us as we dismantle the fear and the judgments. The text goes on and says, as you approach it in the way that we've offered to you, you will discover that the fear of creation seems to become more and more absent. Therefore, the barrier between you and creation becomes more transparent. Some of you will even have very clear experiences of transcending all sense of personal consciousness and suddenly realizing that the vastness of your being is greater than your entire cosmos. Some of you will experience improved relationships with a coworker or with an old friend, or a phone call or a letter from somebody you've not been in touch with. Why would this happen? Because somewhere in the process, something bubbled up and was given to you for healing that literally sent the message to that one that you are with them and that they can heal and release their own patterns. Remember that all minds are joined, so that as you are engaged in healing, you are providing a spark of light that holds the potential to uplift every mind in your dimension and in all dimensions. Now, process is one that you can't experience just by reading or listening to me read these words. This process is something that in order to experience it, you've got to engage some form of release or meditation or practice so that you slow down the momentum of the conscious logical mind or the intellect or what Guy Finley would call the mechanical level of mind that just keeps churning. There's a part of our mind that just does what it does. Michael Rice refers to it as the carbon-based memory. The brain in your head acts like a hard drive in a computer. All it can do is record what's poured into it, and when it's called on, play it back out. So in the Western world, that is the part of our mind that we have been taught to think of as the lead, the master, the God, the only useful part of our mind, of our consciousness. And so it's developed a tremendous momentum for most of us. And it is absolutely essential if we want to change our experience that, as Way of Mastery would say, that we learn to use time differently. If you want to make progress, then you have to use time wisely to slow the part of the momentum of the mechanical mind that drives the intellect that can only do what it's been programmed to do, which in its judgments and comparisons and evaluations is the mechanism that creates our upsets, our negative emotions, our angers, our hurts, our fears, our sadness, our confusion, our bitterness, our resentment, our shame. Those are caused by the misapplication of our mind energy. And if we want to change to be something more loving, more productive, more expansive, more wisdom-driven, we need to change the way we use our thought processes. We need to engage in exercises like this or in following the breath. In the Beatitudes from J.M. and from Dale Ellen Hoffman and from Dr. Michael Rice's team that were working with the Gavoris manuscript, the Beatitudes begin with this yogic practice of breathing and softening and letting what is tense and rigid within us soften and start to move and bubble up. And then we release it and let it go. So Dale Ellen Hoffman summarizes the first three Beatitudes as breathe whenever you feel something you don't like. Breathe. Breathe fully, breathe wholly, breathe slowly, breathe mindfully. And step two, feel whatever starts to move, whatever starts to loosen, whatever is tense or rigid within you that starts to soften. Feel it fully. And step three, release it and let it flow. Keep your breath moving. Basically do what this exercise in Lesson 18 is asking us to do. See whatever arises. Breathe, soften, accept it as it is. Dismantle any negative thoughts or judgments you have about it or yourself or the world, and keep breathing and move into the allowance, acceptance, and surrender that this work is calling blessing. To aid that, if you've got some real strong negative energies stuck in your system, crystallized, some would say, crystallized into your system, a firmly held negative belief about yourself, some trauma energies, some repeated trauma energies connected to negative beliefs that have been so strongly resonated over time and denied and pushed down, that they've actually become a crystallized form of energy within the mind and the body unit, it might be really good to use sound of some kind. Now, you can go to a gong bath, you can go to a crystal bowl ceremony, you can go to somebody to place a didgeridoo or a drumming circle, but you can also use your own voice, as Dale Ellen Hoffman would like to point out in The Echoes of an Ancient Dream, the book he wrote titled Echoes of an Ancient Dream, where toning and chanting are powerful ways to use tone, vibration, music to soften and dismantle and then release energies that don't belong in your system. How do you know they don't belong? They're tight, they're tense, they're uncomfortable, they're negative in thought pattern, they're a negative emotional experience. Any of those are intended as a warning signal, and that's all. They're not intended to be your full-time companion always on. Just like a fire alarm in a building wasn't designed to be always on. So this exercise in lesson 18 has us breathing and softening and sitting in our chair or our place of meditation for 5 minutes as Christ, and then recognizing whatever we see, whether we're thinking thoughts about people, we're seeing people with our eyes open, we're seeing the desk or the mess on our desk, or we're seeing pictures on a wall somewhere that remind us of some family member that we have bitterness or hurt or resentment about or some past trauma, whatever it is that comes into our awareness, that we breathe and we soften and we let it go, that we recite statements about the truth of life, that we don't truly know anything. We don't know what anything is or is for, unless we made it up, unless it was made up by our family of origin or our culture. And so what we're stepping into in this practice is something more directly observable, that we don't know what anything is or is for. We don't know what any of our brothers and sisters truly are or truly need, especially if we label them, oh, that's Barb, you know. She is so demanding. She is so controlling. Oh, she was so wounded by her alcoholic parents. Or all those labels, we are encouraged in this work to dismantle them. Dismantle all the labels. Dismantle all the associations of thought. Dismantle all the judgments. That's what's meant by the process of forgiving. It's an internal process within me whereby I dismantle the negative judgments I have about people, places, and things from my past, the present moment, or the future. The text goes on. The next section is titled, "We Embrace Your Choice for Healing." We, the consciousness that's writing this book, the consciousness that was flowing through J.M. when he spoke these words. We abide in a dimension of consciousness in which there are no barriers. Everything is perfectly transparent. We are very aware then, by selecting to turn our attention to whomever we wish, we are aware exactly what you are currently involved in healing. Rest assured, each time you choose a loving thought, each time you choose to join with us to be the arisen Christ, you spark joy in us. For we are embracing with you, in delight, your choice for healing. Separation cannot exist. Your healing brings us joy. And so now the cat, so to speak, has been let out of the bag. We truly come to help you and help you heal for very selfish reasons, because we feel good when you heal. We know that as you heal, our joy is uplifted and extended. We know that as you heal, you come closer and closer and closer still to remembering that you are already right here where we are. While we play in a dimension that seems to not include physicality, and you seem to play in a dimension that does include physicality, as you become more transparent to creation, the sense of separation dissolves. More and more and more and more, we dance together in the eternal joy of the atonement, bringing creation back to the love of the Creator, thereby transforming it, thereby illuminating it, thereby creating within creation itself the means by which the good, the holy, and the beautiful are extended forever. suffering need not be. The suffering with which you may yet be identified need not be. It is only by choice that suffering is held in the mind. And it is only by choice that it can be healed and released. Beloved friends, friends indeed, for we take with great sincerity the use of that word friend. We are indeed always with you. Please notice then that in this lesson we've chosen to transmit the thought we rather than I. It's not just Yeshua. It's not just Jesus. It's not just one or two of his friends which have become saints. It's a legion of consciousness, of sparks of the divine mind. For although that one that you have identified as Yeshua is very much a part of this communication, please understand that no one heals alone. The extension of the good, the holy, and the beautiful is never done alone. Creation is a collaboration. This is why relationship is the means of your salvation. All healing involves the whole of creation. We come to you because we love you. You may wish to look upon us and use the term lineage, for within the resonance of beings, within the dramas of creation, and within the forms and dreams of separation, in the infinite number of worlds that have arisen and continue to arise, a resonance has been created through an infinite number of souls that seem to be separate and individual. We are merely those who seem to have gone ahead of you a little bit in time and seem to have awakened more thoroughly than you give yourself credit for in this moment. In truth, and we're all about truth here, we're about absolute description of what is, capital T truth. In truth, the awakening has already occurred. It is done. There's a part of you that never left its source, that is consciously aware that it is connected to everyone and everything in all of creation. And there's another part of you that seems to be in a body, that seems to be hearing these words, that seems to be upset about pictures that its mind is showing it about the outside world. There's a part of you that has forgotten. And yet, in truth, the awakening has already occurred, and it's already done. You're merely remembering the process of awakening. We come then to you as you would wish to perceive us. Some of you see us as far above you. Some of you see us as right next to you. Some of you believe you could never be equal to us, never so grand, never so great. Some of you look upon us and smile and say, would you move over a little bit so I can get on with this? All perception still falls within the realm of illusion. Truth, capital T truth, comes by revelation. I and my Father are one. I and my Creator are one. This is the only utterance of inadequate words, but it is pointing towards or reflecting a certain revelation of truth. There's no magic in the phrase, I and my Creator are one. It's still using language and thought, the stored impressions in your mind that get resonated when I say, I and my Creator are one, or I and my Father are one. The energy, the patterns of thought, the meanings that you give those stored patterns of thoughts and energies in your mind are not the same as what they're pointing to. This is why it is said in so many of these great traditions, you cannot know God. You can't be done learning, growing, and knowing about your Creator. Because the word is not the thing. Because the word is an image of an image. Because it's there as a mechanism to, as it's written, as it's spoken, as it's heard, resonate content that already exists within your mind. And it is not the same as having a direct lived experience of this vibrant, full-on, resonant energy of life. So the words, I and my Father are one, I and my Creator are one, is just an utterance of inadequate words. It points towards a certain revelation of truth that has to be stepped into experientially. How do you do that? You make the choice to use time wisely. You make the choice to spend some time doing the meditations or the suggested statements in this series of lessons. And you usher yourself toward an experience. But that experience will never succumb to being put into words. The experience of life is always far more than can ever be talked about. So the text goes on and says, we love you because we are who you are. In the end, there is only Christ loving Christ back into wholeness. A wholeness that was never lost in the first place. So it might be more accurate to say, in the end, it's only Christ loving Christ back into awareness of the wholeness which always was. And in that moment, when creation is returned, you have a good laugh, and you say, I'll be darned, I never really went anywhere at all. And all of my brothers and sisters are here with me, and they are who I am. I am me, and you are you, and we are we, and we are all together. It never left its source. Awareness never was separate from any other awareness. The text goes on and says, remember then that each loving thought restores you to your rightful place. Every fearful thought merely delays the moment of your release and the restoration of your perfect peace. Remember that only love can heal. No technique has ever brought healing. Though it can provide a temporary field in which the mind can choose for love, remember how perfectly simple it is. It is not possible for you to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Imagine an employer who's decided to pay you a million of your golden coins per hour, and your only task is to place a flower wherever the employer wants it. So the way this employer works is, because he loves to have fun, he provides you with an envelope each day that you show up for work. And you open the envelope, and in it is a set of instructions, and it says, for instance, outside you'll find a taxi cab. Take the taxi cab to the inner city, and there, take the job of a street sweeper. Now, on Tuesday morning, I'm going to send to you an 84-year-old man who hates himself and feels himself to be useless. Give this man a beer, sit down upon the curb, and talk about how you used to hate yourself. It's okay if you never did. Just do this for me. And as you talk, I will fill your mind with exactly the right words. And you will know just the time to turn and look into that man's eyes and simply say, "Brother, you are loved. You are loved. You're loved, loving, and lovable forever." And as you do that, healing will occur. Now, meanwhile, your coworker may just get up and open an envelope that says he has to go to a penthouse in Paris to eat the grandest of meals and to be blessed with millions of golden coins surrounded by a harem of beautiful women or men with the finest of wines. And yet, it will all be a smokescreen so that when the room service person brings the next bottle of wine, I, as the employer, I will whisper into his ear, "Bless that room service person." Now, in the realm of form, it looks as though there's a big difference between somebody who's blessed with infinite wealth hanging out in a penthouse in Paris and one sitting on a lonely, cold curb in some deep, dark inner city with an old man who hates himself. But I say unto you, there is no difference. There is no difference because creation holds only one purpose and one value. What is that? Healing. The healing that allows the Creator's only child, Christ, to arise from a useless dream and to be restored to her rightful place at the right hand of creation. Now, this is not a spatial term. It simply means to think rightly, to be restored to sanity, so that creation can flow forth ever more perfectly, ever more joyously, adding to the kingdom by extending the good, the increasingly good, the increasingly holy, and the increasingly beautiful. Never then judge yourself by comparison to another. Comparison and contrast are what the egoic mind does so that judgment can result. Judgment of self, judgment of another, doesn't matter. But when we judge, the dream of separation continues. So it is in the dream. And since it's in the dream, the dream needs to continue for it to maintain survival. Simply give it up. Each of you is as wealthy as the one next to you, for you have the perfect love of creation flowing through you. You are as your Creator has created you to be, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable forever. No event has ever had any actual impact on you, on the truth of who you are. There is only love, and you are that. Therefore, simply be who and what you are. You are the light that lights this world and restores it to the loveliness of heaven. Your awareness of that awaits your awakening. It rests within you. Your ability to see and feel yourself as a part of the one mind awaits for you to turn your awareness to it. So that's all we're going to read from Lesson 18 today in our review of Lesson 18. And we have about 5 minutes left to have comments, questions, answers, testimonials, suggestions, I'll remind us that there's another support group tomorrow, and we greatly appreciate it when you choose to join us or you pass that information along to somebody else. All the information needed to join us, absolutely free, is on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. And please remember, if you go there or send somebody there, separate login information is available for Tuesday and Thursday groups. Area code 760. I'm attempting to turn on your microphone. You're in the air.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds
this is
like
Ann.
Is this Ann?
Yes. It seems that as you're reading that again, and I've listened to the archives, that of course, as happens, always hear something new, different, that was always there. So it appears that what's happening with me with the judgment thing, I understand and am practicing when I'm with people, because recently helping with a friend who had dementia and her granddaughter came down and was with her, and then they got her moved, but there's all her clothing and stuff, so I was helping with that. So not judging while I'm working, but then I discovered today listening that when I go to tell the story or tell someone else that this is what I was doing, my words are still judging because I'm putting a label on that person where they were. I will say something, well, more recently, like, you know, their life would be a lifetime movie. And I just realized as I'm listening to this again, I go, wait, there's the judgment right there. I'm saying blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so just recognizing that I have the next level is watch my words if I were to repeat it. And I'm realizing a lot of these things, I don't even need to repeat their story or what's going on with the people I helped. I just, that's just what God has me doing. So one more level. Just keep going, and it's like you're just reading. It doesn't stop. It's always there. And the other thing is I realize I'm reading through the Bible for the first time this year, these scriptures, and listening to the Way of Mastery, it's just making them come more alive. So I just got that today. It's awesome. Anyway, thank you again and again for what you're doing. Blessings.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and deserving, and I will mute you so you can tune in to the second hour. It is, it's our purpose is to be here to maintain that intention to be of service, so I'm glad that you're finding it useful. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome and deserving. Have a lovely show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Monday, August the 15th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. While we're waiting on Michael to dial in, I'll just say we had a really good Mindshifters and Still Point on Saturday. If you are interested in that and you're not part of the group, drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and give us your phone number. Let us know you're interested. We'll get you registered for next month. We do that the second Saturday of every month, and then it's followed up by Tuesday. So tomorrow evening we'll have a follow-up meeting. And it's a small group, but it's a very powerful group, and we are enjoying it tremendously. And next week on Thursday is the book club. And while Michael and I will be on vacation starting this Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to that, we're going to take a week at the beach. And we will still be doing the radio show. We'll still do the book club on Thursday the 25th. And so be part of it with us. And so if you have a question, if you press 1, it puts a hand up in the switchboard, and I know you want to talk instead of just listening. And we would love to hear from you. If you go to the website, whyagain.org, you can click on schedule and you can find the information about the Mindshifters monthly or the Stillpoint monthly meeting. You can also find the information how to tap into the Global Book Club. There's also the latest 3-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop that Michael did, and it on there for free. And then also the Codependence Communication Intensive, that is a self-study intensive. And all that information is out there under schedule. We're still working on changing the shop over, so hopefully that'll be more attractive. We'll get that complete here shortly. And again, if you haven't downloaded or updated the app on your phone, please do so. And welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear hearts, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're with us once again today as we move forward in this amazing privilege of getting to look into the mind and the words of Yeshua as they were extended in the first century, bypassing the Greek mistranslations and misunderstandings, and looking deeper and deeper into the first century meanings of his words, and in particular the tools that were developed 2,000 years ago and offered, and as a way to bring healing and correction to the human mind, and in turn shift and change the energy patterns within the human so-called body, looking from the perspective that, you know, when I say so-called body, that in fact what we've called the body is energy. If we listen to Einstein, he says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. We don't live in a material world. We live in an energetic world. Our eye tricks us about many things. And those things we've been tricked about were in the ancient Aramaic called appearances. Don't judge by those appearances. You're being tricked. Your mind plays games. And we're looking to understand how to correct those tricks, how to correct those games that the mind has played on us, and come back to direct relationship with what is really true in this creation. And in particular, the role that the mind plays in our interaction. So in essence, that's where we want to head. And of course, the main tool we're going to talk about, as always, will be forgiveness, though there are a corollary of other tools that pop up out of that original Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, where we elucidate the first century Aramaic meaning of forgiveness and the how-to. So that's where we're heading, and we're on to your part of the conversation. And Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, or anybody in the chat room with a thought for us?
No, it's all quiet on this end. However, I just got a text from Sarah McLaughlin. Sarah McKnight.
Ryan
McCollum Knight. I'll get it out in a minute. Anyway, she just tested positive for COVID, so hold the space for her.
Bless her heart. Sending love. Hold the space for you.
Yeah.
And I had talked with Michael, and he was expecting to be joining us. He had some thoughts for the ongoing conversation. Is Michael's name up there on the screen.
It is not. I had to look up his number to be able to see if it's on there.
Sure.
So
okay.
He is not on there yet.
So the core tool.
We just had a hand go up. It's actually Anne.
Let's say hello to Anne.
You are on, girl.
Hey, young lady.
Hey. Hey, it worked to take off the one and put it back on again because in the past it hasn't. Well, since you mentioned this other Sarah that has COVID, I'll definitely be sending healing energy since I went through it recently. What I wanted to thank everyone for is the healing community and the residents of healing. It turns out that I had a friend that had it at the same time, and the juice bar where I always go, which he's so knowledgeable in mushrooms and just juicing cold-pressed organic, you know, stuff, actually had a high fever yesterday. He sent healing energy to me when it was just like this, all of a sudden, people that I knew, you know, were dealing with stuff as I was dealing with stuff and just were sending energy back. And it's like, so I send Sarah all of that I gained from everything.
Yay, I'm with you.
It is possible to get through it. It's not, you know, everybody's different and having to deal with it. But I wanted to also add that it's like you folks found out there was benefits from it. You know, it pushed me. I mean, I accepted the push, pushed me to start doing a sinus rinse, which I was supposed to have been doing for a whole year or more. And finally, I'd set up an appointment with my ENT doctor like in 3 months so that I had a deadline, and I pushed myself to that deadline. But when the virus hit me, the pain was so bad, having headaches from the coughing, because it was a dry cough now, it wasn't my wet cough from sinus drainage, that it pushed me to start the Neil Med, which is the sinus rinse. And so that is one of the benefits that has helped me.
Right.
But plus also the spiritual part of it, emotional part of it, was learning to take care of myself because I had gotten my immune system lowered. And so, and then my friend, when I talked to her, same thing had happened to her. She had overtaxed herself. So it's like, okay, but then out of that, we look at, okay, what is the good that's come out of it? So again, you know, a gift, and you've talked about that so many times, that things that we think are mistakes or are events that we really didn't want actually wind up beneficial. So thanks again for the community. And blessings to Sarah as she gets out of this.
Well, thank you for that support, and thank you for being part of what makes the community possible.
Right. You're welcome and deserving, as Dr. Tim would say.
Yeah, cool. All right, you have a blessed one. So this work of forgiveness is really the work of introducing the parts of the mind that are in fear and hostility to the active presence of love, and that the core of all healing happens only when love, real healing, happens only when love is present within the structure. And it's interesting how often people that are in need of that healing presence of love, because their disease is activated, seek to control by bringing to bear hostility, rage, the disease they're stuck in, righteousness, and think themselves, you know, vilified by separating from others. And it's the very thing that initiated the disease process in the first place. And the willingness to let loose the grip on hostility and fear and rage and grief, they need to control sadness, terror, and to make a space for active love to show up within one's own mind, within one's own physiology. And that whole process of disease is nothing but a system that's been taken over energetically by something other than love. And so that something other than love will tend to fight and struggle and rail against allowing the active presence of love to come into the space where dissolution of the hostility and fear-based mind takes place. And so the key role that forgiveness plays in that process, as opposed to this whole idea we've been fed by the Greeks about forgiveness being, you know, we're going to let you off the hook, we're going to stop holding you accountable for what you've engaged in. That idea bears no relationship whatsoever to forgiveness. You're not going to be forgiven in that Greek sense of you've been let off the hook, or you're not going to be held accountable for what you've engaged in. We're always held accountable for what we've engaged in. And at any point we choose to, we can shift what we have engaged in by bringing it forward and exposing it to active present love. And in essence, that's what the world is called grace. It's the ability to change our minds, the ability to shift any time that we choose to. And of course, one of the opportunities that each of us has with everybody in our lives is to be that space, to be that offering of active present love, whatever is going on in the world and whatever is going on in our own minds. So that each person, you know, we talk about a support team, each person has someone to turn to, they can rely on to hold and to be that space of love for them, even when their mind wants to rail on with something else. And the genius piece of information that Yeshua understood was that when love is brought to bear any form of hostility or fear, and that hostility or fear is directly exposed to active present love, that's when the hostility or fear-based energetic patterns, thought patterns, word patterns begin to dissolve and release. And it's that release that is the core of forgiveness. And whatever the mind is hanging strongly to at any given moment, that process of hanging to a dis-ease energy is always driven by a goal. And understanding that when that goal is removed, then that state that one might be clinging to can begin to break down, begin to let loose, that the underlying energy is exposed to active present love. And this creates the dissolution or the removal of what never belonged in the human system in the first place. And so forgiveness is much more correctly translated as removal than this idea of being let off the hook. If someone chooses to pardon, well, that's a nice thing to do. But to realize that the tension and what one is experiencing as a sensation within themselves that's based in something other than love is being imposed on them by themselves. Yes, someone else may trigger that energy into activity, but it's always the individual that's experiencing it that is imposing that energy. And to recognize the goal that drives that process internally and letting loose of that goal is, you know, to me, it's just such a genius piece of information, such a genius piece of understanding that we have the ability to let loose of. All patterns of hostility and fear, and allow our cellular structure access to the active present love that is the truth of who we are. And anything that doesn't move forward in that space of love is what ties us up with resistance. And in Aramaic, the name of Satan, or the definition of Satan, is the resister, one who misleads. I was thinking the other day about the whole Judas story, and it's interesting that Judah presents with Yeshua as apparent tenderness, as a kiss. But what's he ruled by? What's the underlying energetic dynamic? And so often people will come in with this pretense of tenderness, but what's really going on under the surface, what's really bubbling under the surface, is something else. And usually when that something else becomes active, they make up pictures of the people around them out of that which is going on within, that which they're feeling, and hold to the pretense that the fantasies they've made up about others are the cause of what they're imposing on themselves. So our goal is, with this work, is to be willing to understand that dynamic and to let loose of any inclination to impose any form of hostility or fear on ourselves or another. And if that inclination takes hold, then one always has the active tool of forgiveness to dissolve that which leads to the dissolution of what never belonged. And when we speak from fear and hostility, we're really divorcing ourselves from the truth of who we are. And when we divorce ourselves from the truth of who we are, it's like throwing ourselves to the wolves. It's allowing that energetic pattern of hostility or fear to become the energy that we radiate into the world that draws experience to us. So the underlying work is that of slaying the dragon within, that each individual can really move forward fully aware and fully awake as present love within their own physiology. So to stand in the willingness to look at the hidden recesses of one's own flesh, which is what we call the mind. The mind functions through every cell in the body, and to engage in a homecoming, the place where love dwells within, to prepare a space for that and to live in that connected space. Ancient scriptural saying that talks about putting your hand to the plow, that the hand to the plow that we're inviting people to reach out with is really reaching out to the plow of eternal life, that which steps one into conscious, active, present love that is not dependent on physiology.
We have a hand up.
Oh, great. Let's say hello.
I believe it's Miss Susan 610. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, folks. Michael, you've got your finger
welcome, dear
right
heart.
On. Hey, hi. I could use a worksheet. I know Michael's calling in, but he hasn't yet, probably. So
You're on. As much space as we need, young lady.
Oh, I appreciate it. I feel as if love is gone. It's all fear. And I don't even know if I can properly read what's happening with my grandson now, because I'm so afraid to get an email from him that I've asked Tim. Tim has asked him to communicate with him, and he's kindly doing that. I'm not getting emails, but even when my husband says we got an email, I'm like sick in my stomach, and I'm just doing this huge thing. So worksheets aren't doing a very good job. I come to an enlightened goal, which is my best enlightened goal, is write a song. Hold you in love, but stay away from you physically. It's about as enlightened as I've gotten. And he's coming home on next Wednesday, God willing, picking
Ryan.
Up his stuff and maybe going back to school or not. They have told him that he has to speak with a counselor before they'll admit him into his junior year. And I learned that early on, and by way of trying to convince them that it really should take him, I said, well, he's in rehab, and they've said that school, that structure, would be the very best possible thing for him. Well, he's now blaming us for telling them that he's in rehab and that was what turned them away from him, which I don't think is true, because the counselor, the woman I spoke to, said that, no, he went through such a crash last year with substance abuse and destructive behavior that they want to make sure he's okay before they put him in school. Anyway, he's very, very angry with us. He's angry with his mother. And it's like the people who love him the most are the ones that are getting the shaft. And I know I'm not supposed to take it personally, and it is happening to lots of family members. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm planning not to be here when he gets back. I've asked him if he would just handle helping him pack and seeing him off, and that doesn't seem very friendly. I'd like to get past that and be here for him, even though I don't know who I'm going to meet. So,
Ryan,
if you wouldn't mind railroading through a worksheet, that would be great. I've got this, the seven-step worksheet in front of me. Is that okay? I'm sure you have it.
Please, let's go for it.
So I, Sue, who am experiencing fear, draw my emotions. Well, that's easy to do. My trigger, my story, is that Jake is angry with us. And this is a second layer worksheet, because the first one was my goal was to have Jake be well. And I realized that he isn't even the bottom line. The bottom line is I'm scared of him. So he's angry and at us.
Well,
there's
a little bit of thought disorder there that you might want to take a look at. And, we've processed this idea several times when you've had an emotion towards someone and recognizing that, in fact, he's angry. Yes, he's putting into his brain's image of you right now. You happen to be the object of attention, but it could as easily be his mom or anybody else. And the truth is, he's just got anger. And it sounds like, you're maybe taking some responsibility for that, as opposed to recognizing that he simply has anger. So maybe this worksheet would be more effective to be on yourself and taking responsibility or standing in line to take responsibility for his anger. Just a thought. And I'm willing to follow your direction.
I'm happy to do that. My story,
well,
my
you would be the object of attention.
Sorry, say again.
Yeah, you'd be the object of attention in step where you identify who's involved. So what's the situation? What's the story? I am accepting blame, or I am assuming blame, or I am how would you express that?
That's a good question.
Because again, he's not angry
with
you, he's just angry.
Well,
so forgiving your need to take responsibility for his anger or to buy in as the cause of his anger.
or that I did something wrong, like I spoke to
that
counselor and told.
Wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I ruined things.
It sounds like you did what was most reasonable.
Good to hear. Okay. So the truth is only my thoughts cause my emotional upset bleed. The thoughts is I cause my emotion is that I said something I shouldn't. Okay.
If you just look at that thought and how that relates to your life, is that something that's been a perennial issue of I've said something that's the problem
it.
Here?
Duh. Yes.
And my offering is that you have been, I think, the most amazing support for this young man. And it is a challenge to hold somebody who's functioning out of rage accountable for their behavior.
And
it sounds like
love for them, have love for them.
Yes.
When you were talking about when love goes, and it feels as if it's gone, you know, in the wide sense, I want him well, but in the immediate sense, I just want to head for the hills. I want to ghost
right.
him, as they say.
Want to escape.
Yeah. So I want to punish myself by escaping, and I want to punish him by escaping. I know this is
right.
getting messy.
Well, you know, sometimes these big issues are messy. They have many prongs, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I do. Okay. All right, where to go from here? Okay, because what this takes me back is just the old scenes, you know, the whippings and things like that. Is that still useful? It's like it's an automatic rubber band. I'm back there
right.
again. I'm running as fast as I can to get away from trouble. Running away. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing. I'm running.
Yeah, running away. Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds like the goal involved would be that in this circumstance, you would like to be seen as, one, innocent, and two, your effort and your helpfulness acknowledged.
Michael,
does that
that's
fit?
Exactly right. Yes, it does. Yeah.
And, you know, a mind in his kind of rage isn't likely to do that anytime soon. And, of course, with your history... being exposed to a mind of rage means you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
So what happens if you cancel your need to be seen as innocent? Where does your mind go when you do that?
It's not going to happen.
So this is one of your 77 times 70 worksheets.
Sure is.
Yeah. And I would start a parallel worksheet. Do you have another blank sheet there?
I can get one. Yeah.
Why don't you grab one?
Put it on here. Worksheet 3, I've got it.
And I just start with the goal there of the goal to have my contribution and my concern acknowledged.
Yeah. Okay.
Which would be the most important goal to cancel first?
By him, you mean? Because...
Yes.
Yeah, by Jake. That's not going to happen. So does that make it not... That has nothing to do with whether it's the topmost goal, though, isn't it?
Say again?
That's... The fact that I'm sure it's not going to happen has nothing to do with whether this is the topmost goal or not.
Right. If you're my, remember the in the Aramaic, the word manifest is obvious. It's obvious to your mind that this can't possibly happen. And therefore, energetically, you'll help to prevent it from happening. As you forgive, as you clear that energy out in you, that's where you can open a space for something different to occur, where you're making a different energetic contribution to the outcome. Then, of course, this is impossible.
Oh, boy, is that
good. I could see a scenario where when the energy shifts in you and you hold a space where there's nothing energetically in you that conflicts with, I've done the highest and best that any human being could possibly do in making a contribution to this young man and reaching out to the school and working to pave the way for him to have a place to land there. I could see when there's a place for that thought to fully land in you, that it's going to extend an energy in his direction that, if it's clear enough, if it's strong enough, and there's the least little bit of willingness for him, it's kind of going to be like a tap on the shoulder, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, I see what you did. You were just trying to make the space safe so that when I arrived at school, it could really work. But if it's obvious to you that that couldn't possibly happen, then energetically there would be a tendency to set up signals that would prevent it from happening.
Got it. I do understand what you're saying, and I'm also aware that I'm not sure he's well enough at this point to have that twinkle, that little willingness.
Sure.
But I can still be on, I can still be okay, even if he comes at me with his daggers. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good.
When you clean that up for you, your only response is, so here I am, I'm the space. And anything you have to say, I recognize your disease, I recognize your pain, I know a significant amount about the source of it, and I can understand what you're playing out, and I don't have to take it personally. I don't have to get involved or engaged in it. I can just be that space.
Whoa, Michael, you know, it goes into a very dark area. It's like goes subterranean. It reminds me of a time when he was in psychosis and he was living with us before he went to his first bout of rehab. I hadn't reached that level of fear. He would prowl around the house at night while we were trying to sleep. And one night I woke up with him looking at me almost nose to nose in the dark. I wake up with his face in my face. It's like, whoa, there's a lot of creepiness here.
That would be a little bit of a startle.
It was. But even then, I said, Boone, what are you doing? Get back to bed. You know, it was like grandmother was still operant. Grandmother has left. I realized that. I have taken off. Whoa, okay. All right, Michael, this is good. This is a sort of a weird worksheet, but I've written down what you said.
So allow yourself to go back to that moment where you opened your eyes and there's his face right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a startle response, could you just visualize, just imagine yourself opening your eyes and recognizing him there in his, whatever was going on for him, and simply being able to reach up and touch that sweet face and offer him a blessing.
I can picture it. I wish I had hugged him. I wish I had hugged him. And he would have accepted it when he was that way. He won't accept hugs now, but he did then. He had a kind of openness that seems to have gone away.
Well, pain upon pain and layer upon layer tends to close that door. But once again, when it becomes obvious to you, you know, then you'll manifest with him the ability to open to receive that intimate touch that he's so terrified of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like intimacy has become terror for him. the person who's supposed to honor him and cherish him is going to abuse him. And so there he is in the room, you know, and you know, if you can see that experience you're talking about and see yourself being able to reach out and hug him, perhaps as you let yourself experience that in a fully sensory way, as a kid, there he is, his face is in your face, and instead of a startle, you reach out, you hold him, and you console him, and you function as the presence of love for him. And as you let your physiology settle into that ability to come forward within your own physiology, within yourself, to offer that. Can you imagine yourself, regardless of his response when he arrives next week, can you imagine yourself being able to offer that?
Yeah, I can see the line drawn. When he was leaving this time to go to rehab, I walked him outside to the Uber, and there was a force field. I approached him to hug him because he has always accepted hugs, even when he's looking at me as if he could murder, you know. But he stepped back, and I knew it would be a violation for me to pursue that. So I stepped away too, and I said, I'm giving you a hug in my mind and in my heart.
Hmm.
And he got in the car. But he went away. He just went and went and went away until, and he posted something on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. He thankfully took it down after a while, a really hateful note about, I have become a witch. And it was a rather amazing piece, like a haiku, painting a picture of an absolutely hideous woman who, and it was me he was talking about, with hatred. And he took it down after a while. But that's, I know that's how he's seeing me. And I know that isn't true, but yet I look in the mirror and I see that person. I've turned on myself. This is getting really weird, Michael.
Yeah. When you make the unconscious conscious, there's oftentimes no rationality to it whatsoever.
I'm writing down
it's
goals
just what's
one
there.
After another. Yep.
And as you can keep coming forward now for yourself as that presence of love, imagining embracing yourself in that presence, it will strengthen your ability to make it obvious to you that you can bring that forward for him in his deepest psychosis.
I was speaking to a cousin who is in AA many, many years sober, who is now a sponsor and a wise fellow. He's just about turning 60 now. And I talked to him about Jacob. All he said was, think of it, 20 years of that kind of treatment, it's going to take a long time. Give him a wide berth.
Yeah.
Just be there for him. So the berth is just getting wider. You're helping me make it a lot wider. And that's very helpful. I've got 6 worksheets lined up already, Michael, as we talk. Thank you so much. We don't have to go through it before.
And as you are healing those layers in yourself, that's what creates the space. You know, I don't know if you remember the things that we did at Heartland in the introduction. One of the things I talk about is the reason why people oftentimes don't heal is because they don't feel safe enough to bring out that space in them where that pain is so deep. They don't feel safe to access it. And as you access that in you and bring love present to that, then you're empowered to be that safe space. And when the space is safe, that stuff will just fly open. But energetically, you know, and there's, you know, go back to that story of the woman with the issue of blood, and she knows that she needs only to touch the hem of Yeshua's garment. She's looking for a space powering and safe enough for her to open what she needs to heal.
Mm.
I can't support somebody processing through something that if I have the same issue, I haven't healed it.
Oh, yeah.
And so as you embrace layer by layer by layer of yourself with that same issue of not being safe, not being cared for, being blamed, all the things that go with it, as you bring that forward in you, you become the safer, 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 safer space until he's safe enough to touch the hem of your garment and be empowered to open that in and let tears come rather than rage cover it up.
Oh, I would so much rather be that for him than running away.
Yeah.
So I have a week and a day or two to get ready.
So how about a mind shifter? Plugging in a mind shifter here.
Okay.
It's safe and healing.
Mm-hmm.
For me to open the deepest parts of my heart and invite
mm-hmm.
Jacob in for healing.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Thank you. It is safe and healing for me to open the deepest parts of my heart and invite Jacob in for healing. Got it. I can feel that that can be possible.
And I think one of the things that each, you'll probably go through several layers in achieving
mm-hmm.
that. And I think with each layer, if you let yourself return to that startle as his face is in your face in the dark and you are reaching out just as warmth and safety and the presence of love, that will strengthen and move you through those layers in yourself.
I love that idea. Thanks.
So being a safe space is, I mean, it's just profound. And you could add to that the visualization of him arriving and maybe even having a total breakdown where you're able to hold to that space of love and just let him process all of that hurt. Because this is the height of the rage is the depth of the hurt that he needs to process.
Yeah, that is so true.
And, you know, how do we fathom with a parent that had as cunning a mind as his father had? How do we fathom the hurt of that child at 2, at 3, at 4, at 5? Young boy developing 10, 12. We can't even comprehend what that might look like. But we can be the space for it to open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to have the confidence that it's still possible. Because my daughter's been saying, Mom, I think he's gone.
No, nobody's gone. He's in the depth of his pain. Now, there something you might do between now and when he arrives. There's a movie that Robin Williams played in called What Dreams May Come. Have you seen that film? Powerful. Robin Williams is married, and his wife is supposed to take the children to school, and she allows, I forget, was a friend or a nanny to drive, and there's an accident and the children are killed. She was supposed to drive them. And so she's in total, complete blame. And she commits suicide and goes to hell. And he's determined to follow her there. And they keep warning him.
Who's he?
Robin Williams is the actor, the husband. So the husband is determined to follow her hair there, and they keep warning him, well, but if you go there, she is not recoverable. She is lost in it. And if you get into her reality, you too will be lost. And he's like, I'm going to do this. And it's quite a graphic experience of what one could experience. You know, imagine the terror. And yet he holds to that knowledge that he can be the hem of the garment that she needs to touch.
Oh, wow. That's great.
It's a powerful demonstration. I mean, there's some really graphic imagery of like, can you imagine yourself being, you can't even fathom how could you ever escape that terror and that trauma. And yet he's just totally single-minded that he is going to do this, even though one of his mentors that he respects from his early life, you know, it's impossible, you can't do that. And he's like, he goes there. And it's a powerful demonstration of he goes to reach out the hand of love to a woman who, you know, I mean, how deep a trauma can you get? She believes that she's responsible for the death of her two children. It might be a powerful film to watch, What Dreams May Come, to just be a model for. I can follow this all the way through to completion and keep processing the parts of me that might get lost in this pain.
Michael, you've just wormed your way right around into the issue. I don't know how you do it, but you are a master therapist. That is so helpful.
Well, I'm going there with you, so we'll hold the space together.
Thanks. That means really a lot.
So at this stage, what goal is most pertinent in your mind to work with?
To be ready to receive Jacob lovingly when he shows up.
So I cancel my need to be the space of... Go ahead.
And to believe he can be okay.
Okay, they'd be two separate worksheets.
Okay, got it.
I'd start another worksheet with that goal of the belief about him being able to recover.
Okay.
That would be another...
Give up that goal?
Separate.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be another... I'd do a whole separate worksheet on that. Just, you know, fill in the goal on another piece of paper for you to be able to hold that belief that he can recover.
Okay. All right. And the other one was to be able to receive him?
Yes. To be able to receive him and maintain your center connected to love, whatever's moving for him.
And these are worksheets in which these are the goals that I am to give up for a while.
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
Got it.
And, of course, when you complete the worksheet, if it's appropriate, you can always reestablish the goal if that's still really an appropriate goal. But the idea there, remember, is when I realize that if I load this goal in my mind, it brings up something in me that's less than love that I need to process, then by canceling the goal, I get to collapse my perception. You know, let's say the perception, it's not possible. I get to collapse that, and that takes me to the mind energy in me that I hold about impossibility of love. And as I bring that forward in the presence of love, I clear out another layer in me that could fall into the trap of losing my connection to love.
I understand. I got it. I do. I see how that is going to work. Thanks. We've done enough.
And once again, you know, once again, just paying attention to your physiology and where the tensions are and breathe into those tensions. You know, notice what's happening in around your heart at this point. If it needs to be softened, your sternum, right up into your throat. And just breathe and let all that soften and open. And whatever you expose to yourself as you do that, whatever you uncover, allow yourself to breathe into it until you can take a full breath all the way right down into your pelvis. Paying attention that everything in your pelvis is soft and open, right down into your feet. Your shoulders, your upper back. Where is the energy if Jacob were to walk into your space right now in this mindset he's in? Where is the energy withhold in your own physiology that you need to open and uncover?
Yeah, I can feel it. Yep. It's always the heart. But doing the whole breathing thing, that's good. Michael, in the middle of the night, the other night, I put on my iPhone and said, God, show me something on here because my brain's not much help. 6 minute long, I wish I could find it again, a woman who took her own life, and in her travels away from her body, she heard two basic things. She was taken through all of her lifetime, a review of her life, including the most painful parts. She said the beings who were with me were celebrating the whole time. They said everything is to be celebrated. And then they said, you're going back. It was other stuff, but basically they said, you're going back. What you do is you breathe and you do not resist, which I translated into allow. Breathe and allow. I just thought that was...
Be with the energy.
So
and if I can't embrace this that's showing up, what is it that I need to forgive that inhibits that in me? Where is it stored in my physiology? And this would be, you know, we're about a week from the last time that you did it. This would be a good space, once again, to imagine those two pencil tips of light.
Oh, I've been doing
being inserted.
Yep.
So let yourself breathe in this soft and open space and just imagine yourself focused and centered in that place where those two pencil tips of light would meet, the seat of the unconscious. And do another layer of Rukka, I release all attachments to Jacob.
Okay. All right. Have it. Got it.
And as you breathe, allow the place where physiologically you can feel the opening and the release and allow that space to be just flooded with active love in yourself, in your own physiology.
That's the thing that's been missing.
That's always the thing that's missing when we're in pain. And when you put it, you know, it kind of fits with the line that comes from churchianity, but it takes on a whole new meaning when you realize it's real about what's going on in your physiology. And when you reject that influx of love, what you're doing is rejecting God. Remember, God is love, not some guy with the white beard on a throne that was given to us, but it is allowing the full physiological experience of the presence of love to fill your form.
Mm-hmm. That's what's been missing. Yeah. Glad to have it in on the horizon again.
So the error is always the same. There's only one. I made this more important than staying connected to my source. Remember the rose and the butterfly story?
Yeah. More important.
Why did the rose die? It made something more important than being connected to its source. Think of Krishna Lion, that story of Krishna the Lion where, you know, he comes down from his, you know, African home where he's now a wild lion, and he frolics with his friends from England and his mate, who's the huntress, who's never been exposed to a human before, would normally tear these guys to shreds. The space is so safe that the female wild lioness shows up and just rubs against them like a big kitten.
Right. I saw that. That was the best.
That's powerful. And that's the power of the space of active present love. And the only thing that inhibits that is what I have not resolved in me yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind can make up this whole picture world that makes it look like it's being caused by someone else, but it's just what I haven't resolved in me yet that the world is beckoning me to look at and move through in my own physiology.
Yep.
And of course, inviting Ruka in for support is profoundly helpful.
Yeah.
So joining you in receiving the active presence of love fully.
Thanks. Thanks a million.
And breathing
Michael.
With you. Oh, a million times we're here to support. Thanks for opening the energy window for such an important issue on the planet to be resolved. It's huge. So many young people lost in this insanity. And the show's going to cut us off, but we'll just let the clock run down and just be this space and hold this space. And reach out to Jacob and extend that energy to him now.